Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Virulent News, Toxic Habits and Attitudes. I'm your host, Wayne Bibbs. If this is your first time listening, welcome. And if you've tuned in before, welcome back. In this podcast, we examine all the things that we allow to interfere with our pursuit of our dreams and the indulgence in our passions. Procrastination, fear of trying something new, the belief that we may not be good enough, ridicule from our families, friends, and even strangers, and all the other toxic habits and attitudes that get in our way. And we all have things that we must do on a day-to-day basis, but we often forget that we can make room in our lives for the things that we enjoy. Your life is more than just a collection of your responsibilities, and in this podcast, we strive to remind you of that. Everyone has heard the saying that numbers don't lie, and that's true, but they don't necessarily tell the whole story either. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, numbers, especially as they pertain to money, are one of the main, if not the main, indicators of success for most people. After all, if you make a lot of money, you must be really successful, right? On the other hand, if you don't make a lot of money, you must be not a success. Now, the reason people think that way is that there's only so much that numbers can reveal. The numbers don't tell you about the parents who would rather cash in stocks or 401ks than use it for a trip or renovation if it means helping you achieve your dreams. The numbers can't tell you about the spouse who works all the overtime available to make sure that you have whatever you need to get your things up and running. The numbers don't tell you that if you have people like that in your life, you are rich beyond measure and certainly beyond money. The numbers also don't bother to mention that not everyone does everything the same way, and that there are workarounds if your resources don't allow you to put plan A into action. If you can't afford the best, work your way down the list of options until you get to one you can afford and still get the job done. By the way, don't be too impressed with wealth anyway, because money is a poor judge of character. It doesn't care who obtains it and how. Money is not an affirmation of a person, nor is the lack of money an indictment. The belief that more positive response proves superior product shows up in other areas too. If you post something on social media and you don't get a lot of likes or comments, then whatever you're posting must not be any good. Therefore, you must not be any good. At least that's what people will tell you. Why? Because they're comparing you to celebrities or influencers who have been doing whatever it is they do for a long time. What the numbers on their podcasts don't tell you is how much help they had in developing their content. The numbers don't tell you that these people had to start somewhere, and it probably wasn't at the top. The numbers don't tell you that there are thousands of people who are contemplating beginning a project just like yours, but didn't follow through or aren't as far along as you are. As I said, numbers don't always tell the whole story. Or how about this? Have you ever seen a commercial where someone says something like, "Hey, I just lost 100 pounds on the alphabet diet. I only eat food that starts with C, so every day I have Cap'n Crunch for breakfast and cabbage for dinner, and the weight just falls off." Ever see something like that? And people are so enthralled by the promise of weight loss, excess pounds being the sin that they are in this country, he says as he rolls his fat little eyes, that they don't notice the extremely small print at the bottom of the screen that says "results not typical," which is marketing speak for, "This is the only person we know of for whom this worked, but we're going to try and talk you into buying it anyway." And legalese for, We didn't come out and say this will work for you. You know where I really learned about how little numbers actually revealed? You know where it really hit home for me? Casinos. When you walk through a casino, every so often you'll hear people cheering, sirens going off because someone won, and lights are flashing, and the counter on some game is just going nuts as the numbers get higher and higher. But what those numbers don't show you is how much money that player and several hundred or several thousand of players before them crammed into that machine or plopped down onto that table hoping for a win. They also don't show you people like me who will pop a 20 into a slot machine, hit for 100 or so, and leave. I mention that because in the eyes of most people, you shouldn't consider yourself a big winner if you aren't winning a few thousand or, dare I say it, a couple of million. But in my mind, if I walk out with more money than I came in with, I won huge. It's the same thing with this very podcast. There are podcasts with larger listening audiences, but this isn't about the numbers. It's not about beating anyone. And it's not just about me, as much as I love doing the show. I say not just about me because it is necessary to remember that you matter, that you are an important part of everything you are involved in. Just like I'm an important part of this podcast. So no, this is not just about me. It's also about you, the ones who listen to the show. It's about the young woman who told me that one of the episodes that I recorded was just what she needed to hear at that time. It's about reminding you how wrong people were all those times that they told you you couldn't do something, that you weren't good enough. It's about reminding you how wrong you were anytime you told yourself that you couldn't do something. There are some things that numbers just can't tell you, some things that can't be quantified, some things that can't be reduced to metrics, and our collective importance is one of those things. Why am I telling you this? Because I want you to concern yourself less with the numbers of what you do, be it the clicks, money, the comments, the sales, and I want you to concern yourself more with the realization and the appreciation of yourself and what you can accomplish when you get out of your own way. And time and weather permitting, appreciate the people in your life who go out of their way to help and support you. I mean, it's bad enough that other people will try to categorize you and your effort in terms of mere statistics without you doing the same to yourself. You have skill, you have talent, you have value. All you need now is the heartfelt belief that you can do it, whatever it is. Want to know the weirdest and most wonderful thing about that skill, that talent, that value, that belief? Here it is. There is no number that can display those characteristics. Know your true worth. Understand it. Accept it, believe it. And when people tell you how great you are, and they will, don't argue with them. Thank them for seeing and recognizing what you are putting on display, and keep displaying it. We'll be right back.
Are you enjoying the Virulent News, Toxic Habits and Attitudes podcast with Wayne Bibbs? Have you given more thought to your own experiences and not following your dreams? Who and what you let stand in your way, and what you can do to rid yourself of that toxic behavior? Now you can support Wayne's efforts to create more free content to reach more people. Please consider a monthly donation in support of the podcast, so that we can continue to offer you stories from Wayne and his guests to encourage you to embrace and follow your dreams, as long as those dreams don't involve any sort of harm to yourself or anyone else. You can subscribe to the podcast on several platforms, and you can follow The Virulent News on Twitter, now X, and Instagram. The Virulent News, Toxic Habits and Attitudes. We thank you for your support.
And we're back. Cell phones have completely changed the way we all interact. Not only are we always within reach of those who are near and dear to us, not only do we have the entire world at our fingertips at all times, but we have access to the whole of recorded history through the use of search engines and the actual Library of Congress. And instead of having to go to wherever these resources are being kept, our phones are compact and mobile, so we could be almost anywhere in the world and retain that connectivity. There's a very good chance that you're listening to me on a phone right now, and even if you're not, you certainly could be. Now, back when my wife and I first started dating, there were no cell phones. So if I wanted to call her, she had to be at home. And I did call her. A lot. Just to give you an idea of what we dealt with as young lovers, we lived in different area codes, which meant that it cost quite a bit more to call her, especially when our calls were marathon conversations that almost always went on for hours. The solution? Payphones. For 20 cents or a quarter or whatever it was, we could talk forever. The problem was that it was difficult to stand on your feet for hours without your feet and knees starting to hurt. But true love always finds a way. Now, at that time, there were drive-up payphones with cords long enough for the receivers to reach into the car, so I could talk to my girlfriend for hours at a time without stressing my feet or my legs. Sometimes the drive-up payphones wouldn't be available, but nothing was going to stop me from talking to my girl. So I would load a folding card table. This is true. I would load a folding card table and chair into my car and drive to a nearby party store that had a payphone outside. After buying a few drinks and snacks so that the owner would leave me alone, I took out the table and chair, laid out my provisions, popped money into the phone, and proceeded to talk to my lady for hours and hours. You should have seen the looks on the faces of people who walked past me as I conducted my heart's business in my makeshift office. I could hear people talking as they got closer to me, and then conversation would stop, but the stares would continue. All of this went on for months and months. But then one day, something happened that I never even thought was possible. I bought my snacks, set up my office, and made my call, but the line was busy. So I said, okay, I'll wait a couple of minutes and I'll try again. And after a few chips and a few swigs of Coca-Cola, I gave it another shot. Now, in the days of wall-mounted or plug-in rotary phones, before caller ID and before call waiting, if the person you were calling had someone on the phone already, you heard this tone. This tone made it clear that your girlfriend was busy talking to someone else, and there was no way to even let her know I was trying to call her. I waited and I tried a few more times, but I never got through. All I heard that day was that normally annoying tone that then was totally demoralizing. And understand, that was the first time I called her and couldn't get through. Her line was never busy. I mean, not even once. That's when teenage angst took over. And all kinds of crazy ideas started running through my mind. She was on the phone a long time. Who is she talking to? She knows I'm going to call her and that we haven't talked yet today. Why didn't she keep the line clear? Wait, what if she took the phone off the hook so that I couldn't reach her? What if she's seeing someone else? What if she's cheating on me? What if he's there right now? I was growing more and more frantic about the various what-ifs and is-she's. And it turned out that her mother was on the phone. Like, she thought it was okay for her to tie up the line just because she paid the bills and so forth. So now, along with all the normal anniversaries that couples recognize, like the first date, the first kiss, and the first vacation, we recognize the first time I called her house and her line was busy. That anniversary was last week, by the way. The reason I shared this little story is that a lot of us allow what-ifs to interfere with our interests. Now, I can speak to lingering questions and doubts about writing and podcasting, such as, what if no one reads my book? What if I get bad reviews? What if I don't get listeners? I can speak to those. But these kinds of questions, the details of them may change a little bit, but these kinds of questions can pop up in virtually every endeavor in day-to-day life. Most of the time, the questions are unfounded. But if you really want to question yourself about anything, make sure you're asking the right questions. Instead of asking yourself, what if something goes wrong? Ask yourself what you will do if something goes wrong. If no one reads your book, ask yourself if you can do a better job of marketing that book. If you get a bad review, recognize that absolutely no one, I mean no one, satisfies everyone. And ask yourself if you can focus more on finding those who are fans of your kind of storytelling. Also, it's okay to have questions about what you do. It's how we learn. But the right questions can speed up that process greatly. How do you know which questions are the right questions? Simple. If the question sounds like exploring positive options, then it is one of the right ones. If the question sounds like something that someone trying to discourage you would ask, it's the wrong question. Giving yourself more to worry about than necessary is a toxic habit, one that you need to abandon as quickly as possible. And be happy that cell phones don't make that busy signal. That's going to do it for this episode of The Virulent News, Toxic Habits and Attitudes. I'm your host, Wayne Bibbs. I'll be speaking to you again in the very near future, but until then, take care.